I think we can do it today, boys. I think we can do 60 minutes. What do you think? You think we can do 60 minutes? Nah. Well, we'll do our best. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the NFL Roundtable. It is week 5 in the NFL already. Boy, these weeks really fly by fast when you're watching NFL football every Sunday and Thursday and Monday and all these games every single week. And we did really well last week on the NFL Roundtable. I mentioned it on Twitter yesterday. Our best bets went 4-1. Matt Rutledge, Jake Circus, I know you had some other winners there on last week's pod. So let me start with you guys, or one of you guys. Let's go to you first, Matt Rutledge. How was your week 4?
Wasn't too bad. We went 4 as well as 1 personally. But yeah, we had that Commanders over. We had the Steelers over, which somehow hit. We had the Cowboys. Unfortunately, we were on the Packers, and then we had the Bucks, so not too bad.
Winners across the board. Yeah, I was watching the Steelers game at a bar locally, which was like, that was a rare leash for me to get away by myself at a bar. It doesn't happen much anymore when you have an 18-month-old at home, but and I was around Steelers fans, and there's something about that matchup, Colts and Steelers. Like the Steelers cannot stop the Colts, especially the Colts at home, and everything was going wrong for the Steelers in that game. But good to see some points put up on the board. Kudos to you, Matt Rutledge. Jake Circus, what about you? Did you have a big week 4? Jake Circus might not be. Oh, Jake, you there?
Yeah. Sorry, I think my service was going. I was assuming you asked me about my week.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Very good week. 6-2 on the public, our bets that we posted on Twitter. Finally a good contest week, 4-1. And then we hit a nice little alt last night in last night's game, Lions -9.5. Yeah. Had some good variants go our way, but you know, it's kind of been the opposite the first couple of weeks. So glad to see some good ones go through, and we're on to the next.
Yes, sir. And you know what hasn't happened yet on this podcast? What hasn't happened is my connection hasn't been poor. Hopefully that's not what's going on, because I'm looking at myself and I'm kind of like I'm robotic a little bit here. So hopefully, I mean, I don't see any issues on my end, but let's hope that keeps up. All right, what about the rest of you? Now, we had Patrick Gates, who just gallivanted across the Atlantic Ocean, just took off, said NFL Roundtable, I'm going to put you aside for a week. I'm not going to care about my friends or these NFL games, and I'm just going to go off and I'm just going to be in Spain hanging out. I don't know what you were doing in Spain, Patrick. Actually, we were all pretty jealous of you. All right, Patrick, how was Spain and how was your week 4?
Thanks. Yeah, I didn't end up placing any bets in week 4. The time zone difference really threw me off. But yeah, Spain's gorgeous. Wasn't really on my bucket list to begin with. Had a few other countries, but had a wedding there, so made the most of it. Super gorgeous country. But my bigger gripe is with British Airlines. $30 for Wi-Fi on the flight home. That's ridiculous. No live TV, no NFL game. So great trip, but I hate British Airways. So that's my one gripe of the trip, if I had to kind of the one bad part, I'd say.
Well, first of all, I'll stop teasing you here for a second. I have to give you some kudos, because that's how you know Patrick Gates is a pro. If you can go through an NFL weekend and have zero bets, that's a tough thing to do. I mean, I know for me, I have my weeks where I'm very judicious, but zero bets, good move there, Patrick. And also, it's also a little like you're going to have your wedding in Spain. You know, like I know that I went to the Bahamas for a wedding one time. We had to get in this like little plane and jump across, you know, like a boat, like 3 different islands we had to go to. I'm like, what are these people thinking? It turned out to be worth it, but that's kind of a bold move, isn't it, Patrick? Like, you're gonna have a wedding in Spain and everyone
it's
has
a really bold move too. He's lucky he's one of my good friends, because I don't know if I would have done it for everyone. But yeah, I had a blast there. So yeah, don't know if I'd go back again, I'd say that, but
is that right?
I enjoyed my time there.
Favorite town in Spain when you were there, Barcelona?
We went to a little coastal town. It's called, we stayed there for 4 days, actually. It's called Sagaro. I'm probably not going to pronounce it right, even when I was there, but super nice. Yeah, loved it, like right on the water. So if you had to go one place, I'd recommend there.
All right. I'm probably going to forget that in 5 minutes, but
yeah, Spain, it's all good.
Spain is a country I want to go to. That's for sure. Barcelona. And I feel like I'm already kind of ruining my projection saying we're going to finish in 60 minutes because I just want to hang out with you guys for a little bit here for once. My God, since we have two fewer games, I should say. And we have with us again for the second time this season, last year's Circa winner, Matty Saint. Welcome back to the NFL Roundtable. Matty Saint, how was your week 4 and how are you doing so far in Circa?
Yeah, struggling a little bit this year in the contest, not going to lie about that. Last week went 2-2-1. My last one in was the Jets and my last one out was the Colts. So I feel like it was really close to having a pretty solid week. Overall, my handicapping, I think, is getting a little bit better. I think I'm starting to see the teams a little bit more clearly. The advanced metrics and advanced data is starting to mean a little bit more than the first couple weeks. And with my background, that's kind of what I rely on. I'm a numbers and analytics guy. So I think I get sharper as the year goes on. In the first couple of weeks, we're kind of, you know, trying to put stakes in the ground and those didn't go my way. And hopefully I'm a little bit, treading water, trying to catch up. And I got a long road ahead of me.
Yeah, I like to think the same of myself as the season goes on. I know after I placed 5th, I had a terrible start to the year. And, you know, it makes us feel more human, Matty Saint, that you're might not just always be at the top of Circa every single year, but I expect better things from you down there. I mean, I know for me, 2-3, 2-3. I love a 2-3 so far this year in Circa Million. So not too happy about that either. But this has been a zany start to the NFL season. I think most people can say that with confidence, at least. I know there's a lot of really sharp guys out there that I really trust and that, you know, like the few that I listen to every single week, and there are many still struggling out there. Of course, you got Jake Circus and Matt Rutledge here just winning every week. Must be nice. But, if, you know, for many out there, a little shoulder shrug from Jake. You know, for many out there who might be still struggling, listen, this is what handicapping is all about, right? You adjust your power ratings, you adjust some things on your end, and then we get back at it for another NFL Sunday. Or if you're going to Spain, maybe you just skip it. But anyway, I'll quit picking on Patrick. Okay, let's go to the first game this NFL week, week 5, as we go over the entire slate. 14 games on today's show, not 16, thank God. Tampa Bay Buccaneers visiting the Atlanta Falcons on Thursday Night Football. This is down to 1.5 in favor of Atlanta at home. Opened up at 3, so some quick movement there. I have this at Falcons -2, so I'm right around that number. Total's at 43.5. I'll just say this. I thought Tampa's win was much more impressive than Atlanta's win. If you go back and look at that Atlanta game, you know, obviously you could look at the box score, no offensive touchdowns, one trip in the red zone, and it wasn't successful. Whereas Tampa Bay, I mean, my goodness, I think a lot of that was about Philly. But you get Vita Vea back in the middle, who makes just a huge difference, right? He's just a big body. He can create extra pressure, extra room for other guys, so their defense looked better. Baker Mayfield was cooking on that Eagles defense, that's for sure. So impressive performance by Tampa Bay. Now they go to Atlanta on a short week. Let's start with the reigning Circa winner, Matty Saint, Tampa Bay and Falcons. What do you got Thursday night?
Yeah, I was just looking at my numbers. I make it 1.5 for Atlanta. Yeah, like I can't really play Atlanta on this spot, though. I think Tampa Bay is coming in with a lot more juice. I won't play this game, but if I were to have a lean, it'd be towards the Buccaneer side. I'd also be, I was just looking at the total. Is it still around 45, or is that something? Maybe I have the wrong total in there.
Yeah, I'm saying 43.5.
43.5. That seems, I don't know, that kind of seems a little light for how explosive Tampa Bay can be. So I'd be kind of look at the over there, but overall I'll keep this concise because I really don't have a lot of opinions on this one.
Yeah, and the Atlanta offense taking some flack, you know, not feeding the ball to Kyle Pitts at all, but it's a short week. I'm not sure how much they're going to change. And I know, you know, maybe that hiring of Raheem Morris, you know, it's when you choose not to hire Bill Belichick and you hire Raheem Morris instead, there's going to be maybe some growing pains, right? He's never been a head coach before, so probably seeing that a little bit for Atlanta in this one too. I will say the Bucs probably profile as a very good teaser leg, especially coming off that impressive win last Sunday. Let's go to Jake Circus, Bucs and Falcons.
Yeah, it's really interesting to kind of try to figure out what the public perception is of Atlanta right now. Because before the year, it was as high as it could be. And, you know, they let down in week one and have a good week two. And since then, they haven't really had any juice. It hasn't really been a very impressive team. I don't think they deserve to win on Sunday. I think the Saints kind of outplayed them. And then the Saints, you know, shot themselves in the foot. I still don't buy this Tampa team 100%. You know, they had a big overreaction week two and then lay the egg in week three. And then this week they just throttle the Eagles who were down some really important pieces. So short week, this will be a stay away from me. I lean towards the Atlanta side because I feel like the public perception is down on them and it's going to lean towards Tampa. But I have not been impressed enough. I mean, I haven't really seen anything with Atlanta that makes me want to play them on a short week with a coach I'm just not sure I'm completely sold on, as are a lot of people. So I'll pass on this game.
Yeah, Raheem Morris says stats are for losers, Jake Circus. We don't think about catches and stats and props all that shit. I mean, he's still figuring stuff out too, right? It's tough to be an NFL coach. Matt Rutledge, Falcons hosting the Tampa Bay Bucks. What do you got on this one?
I'm going to stay away from this one too. Primetime Kirk is a favorite. I'm good.
plenty of traction on that comment. That's for sure. All right, Patrick Gates, end us here. Tampa Bay visiting Atlanta.
Yeah, these are both pretty confusing teams, right? Like, they're not exactly easy to figure out, even through 4 weeks. They've had some up and downs across the board. But yeah, interesting game. Probably going to lay off, but I do lean the Bucks in this one.
I like it. Okay, first game to talk about on Sunday, and it is in London. The Jets and the Vikings square off. Vikings are, they look like they're 2.5-point favorites right now in most books. You know, it says opened up at +1.5. I think that was probably, you know, maybe that was last week or something, or even earlier than that. I'll say this, guys, totals of 40.5. When you got a program like we see in Minnesota right now, where just all things are clicking, the way they're going up on teams early in these games. I mean, that was a really weird game, you know, to go up that many points. Was it 28-0? Hard to take away a lot from that for the Packers. But for the Vikings, a lot of things are going right. I think Kevin O'Connell's stock is certainly rising. And, you know, so I'm looking at this game and I realize that the Jets are 2-2, right? So maybe they're looking at this as a game that they need to win. But Robert Saleh versus Kevin O'Connell overseas, traveling with a team with, I mean, when we talk about chemistry and the way the kind of programs are gelling at this point, I'm not going to trust Robert Saleh in this spot. I'll just put it that way. So, I don't have a bet on this game yet, but I am strongly considering a bet on the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to go back to you, Patrick, for this one. In London, Vikings and Jets.
Yeah, I would agree. I lean Vikings in this matchup as well. Aaron Rodgers just kind of hasn't looked great this season in general. That offense hasn't really shown flashes of what it was supposed to be. Even that defense with some key injuries out. They just haven't been kind of the Jets that we've expected, I'd say that much, too. Minnesota's overperforming here, which is a little bit of concern in the spot, given the overseas aspect as well. But I still trust the Vikings from what they've shown through the first 4 weeks rather than the Jets. So I like the Vikings there.
And I'll tell you what, if the Vikings get an early lead, I don't love Aaron Rodgers, who's already, you know, kind of holding the team on his shoulders, especially on offense, obviously. I think 42 pass attempts last week. I don't see that changing. Probably going to be a little bit of a sloppier game in London too. Wet ball, and they're playing from behind. I just don't like that from the Jets if that happens. It's pretty much happened in every Vikings game so far. Let's go to Matt Rutledge, Jets and Vikings in London.
I like what Patrick said. I think the Jets are underperforming a lot. But I'm going to be on the Jets this weekend. You know, soccer is my biggest sport. It's what we bet on the most. I've watched so many games in Tottenham, and usually you see overs in Tottenham. Not that this matters at all, but I think the Jets are going to put up some points. I think progressively throughout the season, you know, they haven't looked great, but week after week after week, they have progressively been looking better up until last week, where they couldn't even get in the end zone or even get close to it. I think you look at this game and you're seeing Jets +120 on a neutral. I don't think that's right. I think that line's really low. I think for a 4-0 Vikings team, they should be favored a couple more points. I find value on the Jets this week, and +120 money line, I'll be on it.
Yeah, and probably qualify as a pretty good teaser lay too. I like what you said about the total here. Tottenham, doesn't matter which football sport, right? There's a lot of overs there. And 40.5 is kind of low. I mean, again, London kind of sloppy, probably going to be cloudy and like rain showers or something like that. But Minnesota Vikings can put up points. And if you have Aaron Rodgers, really, if you have either side chasing the other, I think you have a chance for plenty more than 40 points in this one. Jake Cirkus, Vikings and Jets.
You know, I talk all the time about like the art and science of sports betting. I think the art here says take the Jets, and that's what I want to do. Science says Vikings. I hate this matchup for the Jets. And, you know, Chris, you mentioned it perfectly. Coaching travels, especially, you know, across the pond. There's not a bigger coaching mismatch on the board this week. I think KOC is probably the best coach in the league. If he's not, he's number two. And this is a Vikings team that is overperforming, but there's just tons of signs to think that this is as legit as it gets, and this is a team that can play on the final Sunday of the year. I still think this line's wrong. If it's three, I'll play it there, but because of the coaching mismatch, the Jets offensive line shuffle, high expectations for that group has not played up to par. Bad matchup against a heavy blitz defense that just abused Jordan Love and the Packers for most of that game, and then, you know, late rally at the end made it seem much closer than it was. There's just some really bad matchups for the Jets here that makes me not want to play it. But if it gets to three, I will.
Yeah,
for the Jets.
Yes. Yeah. And just for our audience out there, if there are any, more recreational bettors, right? I've had this question asked to me before from my top play customers. There is a big difference between 2.5 and 3, right? We're talking about key numbers here. Obviously, that's a field goal, but more games end on 3 than any other number. 2 is actually becoming a more important key number as well. But if you get up to a 3, I agree with you, Jake. I see some value on the Jets. Still not sure if I can come around to it right now. The value is on Minnesota for me. Finish us off here, Matty Saint, Vikings and Jets.
Yeah, I make this game a pick. So right now I see value on the Jets. I'm also a cynical Vikings fan, and I'm waiting for the wheels to fall off. You know what I see here, and I've seen it time and time from following this team, and maybe this group of Vikings will be different than historical teams, and so I can't just say every team's going to perform like in the past. But yeah, anytime you get a dome team traveling across the country to play outside in potential sloppy surfaces, windy surfaces, that's the times what I like to bet against the Vikings. I also want to see how Darnold holds up. He's done great this year. I'm just waiting for him to kind of come back to earth a little bit. I think that the secondary for the Jets can man up pretty well against the Vikings receivers. I know JJ is in a class of his own, but I think Sauce is also in a class of his own on the defensive side. So I just see this as like a sloppy game. I don't think offenses are going to perform up to standard. I don't think that the Vikings offense is going to move the ball the way they've moved it the past 2 to 3 weeks. You know, they've been, last week in Green Bay was a nice sunny day in Lambeau. Like, that's not really typical Lambeau field conditions. The two games prior were, you know, inside at US Bank Stadium, where that team thrives with their speed. So I just feel like this is going to be a clunky, messy game. It'll probably come down to a field goal, and I'm probably not going to play either side of it. Even though there is value on the Jets, that coaching mismatch is real. KOC is the real deal. I also, skeptically wonder if LaFleur kind of found some holes in Flores's defense in the second half last week, because that was pretty bad defense. I think they went over for close to 500 yards in that game, the Packers did. So it's a stay away for me, but if I were to play it, I'd probably play the Jets at +2.5.
Yeah, really good point about that second half. That was really close. Packers almost coming back and tying that up at the end. And maybe they learned something, right? And how to attack that Minnesota defense. Finally, somebody needs to learn something, because so far that is really working for the most part. All right, let's move on to the Commanders and Browns. This opened up at 3. It's up to 3.5 at some books, at 3 at other books, in favor of the Washington Commanders. Now, the Commanders are the chalk, and you really cannot not be impressed, right, by Jaden Daniels and what he's doing over there. I mean, the team's not punting. He's moving the ball constantly. I got to say here, though, guys, and I am, I'm like throwing up in my mouth saying this, but the Cleveland Browns, if there's a spot to take them, I mean, you're 1-3 now. You're in the NFC North. You go 1-4, your season's probably over. And now we have the Commanders as chalk, right, in their first game as chalk this season. Of course, a team that nobody really expected to be in the position there, and they're 3-1, first place in the NFC East. But of course, I'm a little hesitant too because of what Jaden Daniels is looking like every single week now. Very proud to have mentioned him before the season, thinking that he was going to be a stud. Turns out he probably is a stud. I mean, we're getting a lot of evidence that he is. But this is going to be a bigger challenge against the Cleveland defense, who we know can step up. I think they're still missing some things in their coaching staff from what they had previous seasons. But, you know, we got a coach in Kevin Stefanski, right? Two-time AP Coach of the Year. I got to think that he'll bring the boys there fighting. But then you got Deshaun Watson. Like, there's so many competing things here, guys. It looked really ugly for the Browns in some instances, too. So let's go to Jake Circus to start this one off. Browns going to D.C. to take on the Commanders. Total on this one, Jake, is 44.5. The Commanders are 3 to 3.5 point favorites.
Yeah. First of all, Jaden Daniels needs to chill. I've got a sick number on Malik Nabers to win Rookie of the Year. He needs to relax a bit. I've got like 22-1 on Malik Nabers. So he's got to come down to earth a little bit. If there is a spot for Washington to, you know, kind of regress here, I think it would be here. You get Cleveland at just their most desperate spot. You know, the offensive line is a crazy merry-go-round right now with the injuries. Teller's on IR. The tackles have been banged up all year. So they're just not the same unit as they were the last couple of years. I think Stefanski's should be blamed much more than he is right now for him taking over the play calling, firing Alex Van Pelt, and then the play calling getting even worse than it was last year. And there's just no improvement. You got receivers looking like they're quitting. But still, like, it's a desperation spot. You know, I think Cleveland's pass rush will give Washington some fits here, kind of much more than what Arizona did. And on the other end, Vegas has a legit pass rush that made Cleveland's offensive line look like JV. Washington's not going to look like that. So I think it'll be a kind of a slower game. I don't see as many explosive plays for Washington as they did against Arizona's defense. So I think there's some nice advantages for Cleveland. They should be able to move the ball. This is still a bottom unit in terms of Washington's defense in the NFL. And look, they're going to punt eventually. It's three games. They haven't punted. They're going to punt eventually. So I see some value on Cleveland +3.5. We'll see if I get there.
Yeah, a really good point about their offensive line too. At least it's a better matchup, right? Washington's defense not getting a lot of pressure there, that's for sure. Let's go to Patrick Gates. Commanders, now they're chalk hosting the Browns.
Yeah, another interesting game, right? I mean, two franchises kind of on a completely different trajectory right here, right? We had some upside for the Browns this season. And on the other side, we're kind of wondering what the Commanders were going to do. Is Jaden Daniels going to be that guy? And apparently he is through the first 4 weeks that we've seen. I kind of staying off either side in this game, but I do like the over in this. I think Cleveland's offense can take advantage of that weak Washington defense. And I think we've seen with Washington too, their ability to score points. I don't think this Browns defense has lived up to expectations as well. So I like the over at 44.5 here.
Oh yeah. Interesting take there. Maybe, hey, how about this narrative, especially for your over? What if Deshaun Watson just keeps on doing his thing, which is he's looking terrible, and they put in Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston comes in and saves the day and chucks it down the field.
The over's going to go up to 55.5 then. Yeah, that, I love that then. Yeah, put in Jameis for me. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, both team totals will go up if Jameis gets in there.
That's right. Eventually, that has to be a consideration at this point, right? It's not like it's all Deshaun's fault. He's not getting a lot of room back there. But my goodness, it is just looking dreadful back there for the Browns offense. Okay, Matt Rutledge, what do you got on this one? Browns and Commanders.
Yeah, that'd probably help. you guys hit the hammer on the nail. I'm not betting anything in this game, but I lean over, if anything. But
yeah, and I think we saw some. Did that open? That had to open lower than that, I think, too. So I mean, it's the Washington Commanders, right? So we're probably expecting some upwards moving on the total. Maddie's saying, end us here, Commanders Browns.
As of Tuesday at 11:30 Central, this is probably my favorite side of the week with Cleveland +3.5. And the reason is just kind of like Jaden Daniels coming back to earth spot right here. And I don't know if this is going to be like a public dog at the end of the week here. And who knows, you know, by Friday how I'll think about it. But right now, I look at who they've played the last 3 weeks, and the schedule couldn't have been any easier for Jaden to, you know, outperform expectations based on playing the Giants, playing the Bengals, and playing the Commanders. I mean, those three secondaries are the bottom three in the NFL. And so I think that, you know, as they go against Cleveland, much better defensive line that he'll face, you know, it's just a matter of Deshaun just not blowing the game this week to me. I think it's just a completely, you know, night and day scenario for Washington to win by margin when they haven't done so in a number of years against a defense as strong as Cleveland. I know that they've underperformed, but they still have some horses on that side of the ball. And I think this is a desperation spot for Cleveland, kind of an embarrassing loss against Vegas without, you know, Max and without Devontae. So I think that they're going to come out motivated. It's kind of going to be like the last straw here for Deshaun. I think that they are close to the Jameis plug here pretty soon if he has another one or two underperforming games, because I think you can see it in some of the receivers' hands, for instance, dropping balls. I think they're the top team in drop balls so far year to date. Yeah. But this is my favorite side. I just think it's like a kind of coming back down to earth moment for Jaden, and for them to win by 4 points to me is just a step too far.
Did you have the Browns in your Circa Millions last week like me?
No, that was a fade spot. So I saw, obviously, like I liked Vegas all week, and then, you know, Friday injury report, they rule out Devontae and Max, and I'm like, okay, so I'm not going to take Vegas anymore, but I'm like, I also don't want to take the Browns either, like they're just the way they were. So to me it was the ultimate fade. I just wanted to watch the game and, you know, kind of secretly root for the chalk to fail kind of thing and try to make up ground elsewhere, other places. Yeah. But that was my strategy on that game last week. It was just kind of a stay away once Max and Devontae got ruled out, but I liked Vegas up until then.
Yeah, they were on my car last week, the Browns were, but it's nice to see some. I mean, it's really hard for me to go back to the Browns this week, but it's nice to see some support for the Cleveland Browns in this show. As gross as it is, we'll see what happens there in D.C. as the Commanders are looking more and more like a team that might be a true – they might not even need any defense this season with the way Jaden Daniels is playing. And I do want to mention Nick Chubb is going to return to practice this week. Very unlikely to play, I imagine, but still, it's a good energy in the room, right? He's a leader. He's a guy others look up to. Maybe that's a little extra juice for the Cleveland locker room. As
they should get Njoku back too, which will be that's helpful. Right. That's right. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully they get one of the two tackles back. Yeah. So we'll see if the injury news, but I think they'll get, you know, a little bit more strength back in the roster.
Maybe both of them. Hopefully one, potentially both. Then this is the most optimistic we can be that both of them will be good to go this week. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty low on the luck rating. You know, Jack Conklin almost started that one game and then he got re-injured. I mean, things are not going well for Cleveland. They are due for some better luck and some regression. All right, let's go. Ravens going to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals in a big AFC North game. Cincinnati's catching 2.5 points at home, so they are officially a home dog. Hosting the Baltimore Ravens after that great win for the Ravens on Sunday night against the Bills. That was just an all-in game for the Ravens. I don't really take much from that on the Bills side, but we're talking Ravens and Bengals here. Total is 51 on this one. Opened at, I believe, around 48, and that went up very quickly. And I imagine that's because of how poor the Cincinnati defense has played. Expecting some more points in this one, but I don't know, boys. Classic AFC North battle. I think that scoring could slow down a little bit. Let me go right back to Matty Saint for this one. Joe Burrow injured his wrist in this game last year. The Cincinnati Bengals are going up and down the field, Matty Saint. And now they get to host the Ravens again and hopefully start building on those wins. What do you got here?
And if Cincinnati doesn't get any of their defensive tackles healthy, Bengals are in for a long, long day. So I could only look at Baltimore at this point in the week, and it would be a smash spot for them with Derrick Henry and their rushing attack. Like their linebackers should feast with those defensive injuries that the Bengals are facing. Trey got banged up last week too. Cincinnati, they've got the 27th easiest strength of schedule, or hardest strength of schedule. So they're 1-3, and they've played basically cream puffs all year. Mm-hmm. And the Bengals or the Ravens just rate basically top five, top 10 in every single advanced metric there is up and down the board. They're a complete wagon. I know Cincinnati, it's division rival. I just don't think they've got the pieces this year on the back end and defensively to compete. Even though Burrow's been playing out of his mind, I would just look at the Ravens, and I know that hopefully there's not a lot of recency bias on what we saw in Sunday Night Football, but I think they've kind of corrected themselves. I think they found something defensively, you know, the first couple weeks they were giving up a lot of fourth quarter, second half points. I think they corrected that self a little bit last week, and I see them kind of getting on a roll here and kind of going on a nice stretch of wins here, and this would be no different.
Yeah, that was the best their pass defense looked by far on Sunday night all season. Now, you know, again, some of these things are like narratives, right? Like if the Bills scored first, if the Bills aren't playing from behind for the whole game, maybe the Ravens pass secondary doesn't look so good. But they all showed up on Sunday night, that's for sure. Derrick Henry, too, looking like prime King Henry now as well. So, yeah, Cincinnati's defensive line better be ready for that. Let's go to Patrick Gates, Ravens and Bengals at Cincinnati.
Yeah, the Ravens put an absolute ass-kicking on my Bills on Sunday night, so that wasn't exactly fun to kind of watch the highlights of when I got back. But I think the bigger story in this question, too, or this game, is the defenses, right? Like, Baltimore certainly improved last week, looked a little bit better against the top-tier offense, but their defense still hasn't been great overall this season. Cincinnati's defense has been pretty horrendous this season. Bottom 10 in both passing and rushing EPA. The over is at 50. It's certainly tempting to take, so I'm probably going to lean the over in this game. I just think if the Bengals are going to stay in this, it's going to have to turn into a shootout, and they desperately need this victory.
I like it. I cannot talk you off of that one. Matt Rutledge, Bengals and Ravens.
First divisional game for both opponents. I think the Bengals just got their first win. I think this is where, you know, you start to turn around. I know the Ravens are favored in Cincy, but I lean Cincy heavy here. I'm probably going to be on them this week. I think we already see people taking the Ravens yesterday. But to me, it's just like, how can you bet the Bengals at home plus money after they just had a win like that? And the Ravens are overperforming. I think they're overperforming, and I think they just looked so good last week. I got to take the Bengals here. But yeah, eight of last 10 games for the Bengals have gone over, and I think five of last six head-to-head between Ravens and Bengals games have went over. So I lean Bengals heavy, and I lean the over as well.
Yeah, a few things from what you just said that I really like. I mean, first of all, it's steaming up on the Ravens side. We're seeing a lot of juice on the Ravens side, so this could reach three. And at that point, I would probably be very interested in the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think I forgot my other point. So hopefully I remember the other point. And let's go to Jake Circus to finish this off here. Bengals and Ravens.
Yeah, you can't really play anything now because the Bengals injury report is going to be really important the next couple of days. Two starting tackles, Rankins and Hill. You haven't seen Miles Murphy at all. There's another rookie in there, McKinley Jackson, who hasn't played at all. So there's four guys. They all could potentially return this week. You know, Bengals got one guy back on. Up front, Chris Jenkins, the rookie defensive tackle, who's already looking like the best player that they have right now. So that's just how bad they've been up front with the injuries. So really important injury report that we're going to be monitoring throughout this week. I also lean Bengals. If it gets to three, I'll for sure play them. It's a great it's a good spot. I mean, Burrow as a dog has always performed really well. This team as a dog under Zach Taylor has always performed really well. Home divisional game. I think it'll be played maybe kind of slower than what the total suggests, just because these teams always play, like AFC North is always play super slow, messy game to, you know, win the turnover battle. It's a different brand of football, but the Bengals offense is humming. This is the best offense. This is the best they've looked on offense, I think, maybe since early of 2021, when they were just getting single high cover three and they can throw it deep to Jamar once or twice a game and that'll be their points. They've figured out how to run 12 personnel. I don't want to be that Ravens staff right now. I think the Bengals offense, this is one of the best offenses in the league, finally humming at their peak, and I'll play them at a plus price.
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember what I was going to say now, but you beckon even more things, Jake Circus. First of all, I mean, no team has probably switched in people's power ratings more than the Baltimore Ravens, right? Those first 2 weeks, they're like, oh, these Ravens can't. And now I'm seeing a lot of power ratings, a lot of power rankings, et cetera. Ravens are number one all of a sudden again, right? They're right back up to the top, which you beat the Cowboys is a great spot for you on Sunday night against the Bills, and you got ahead. I don't think we're going to – I'm not putting the Ravens number one just yet. And to your point, Jake Circus, the Cincinnati Bengals offense is humming, and let's not forget how Joe Burrow is in a lot of these situations, right? The Bengals come into the game, no one's giving them a chance, and Joe Burrow just does his thing and cannot be stopped. So Right now, they qualify as a pretty damn good teaser leg, but man, I hope that gets up to three, and I could see me being all over those Cincinnati Bengals. Okay, next game, Bills and Texans at Houston. Bills, of course, coming off that loss. This opened up as a pick 'em. Now the Bills are a very slight favorite, -1 to -1.5, depending on where you look. Totals at 47.5. I actually feel like doing my best Jake Circus impression here, because I'm starting to really believe what you're saying, Jake, about the Houston Texans, because it feels like CJ Stroud. Now, I got to watch that game back. That's a game I haven't been able to inspect too much just yet, Houston and Jacksonville, but it feels like they're just kind of being held together by the brilliance of CJ Stroud, you know, kind of pulling them ahead in certain situations, but the operation is not quite as clean as we thought it was going to be heading into the season. And another opportunity to not forget, right? These Houston Texans enter last season with a rookie quarterback. No one's expecting anything. And now just our perception has flipped in 12 months completely on this team. Here come the Bills, pissed off of a loss. Right now, leaning strongly to the Bills, but I don't have a play on this one yet. Going to you, Jake Circus, Bills and Texans.
You're a little late to the party. You were 4 weeks in. That was your chance to fade them. They're 0-4 ATS. This is where we buy them. Look, there's so many ways to look at this Texans team going into the year. I mean, that was my biggest position on when I went on laying the points, Chris, was we should fade them early in the year, and they're 0-4 against the spread. I mean, I think I've faded them 3 of the 4 weeks, successfully. Last week was Jacksonville was my best bet, but now I think like everyone is going to be looking at the Bills bounce back. If you zoom out, cause the NFL is such a, what have you done for me recently league. If you zoom out and look at what the Bills have done, they blow out a corpse Miami team when Tua was still there. That game was over when he got hurt. That Miami team should have lost Jacksonville week one. Then the Bills blow out that same Jacksonville team. They trail 17-3 to a Cardinals team. Then they get blown out by Baltimore. I haven't been that impressed. I mean, I'm sticking to my preseason narrative with this team that, you know, I think that they're still going to miss Diggs and Davis. Until Teron Johnson and Terrell Bernard come back, the defense is not as good as they should be. This is a great spot for Houston to get right. I love the matchups against, you know, if we get Tank Dell back here, I love him and Collins over the middle of the field with the Bills injuries at linebacker, especially in slot corner with Teron Johnson as well. This is a really, really nice spot for the Texans at home. As a dog, short favorite, it doesn't really matter that much to me. But I think that we can fade this Bills team again. You know, kind of riding the wave with this still public perception on them. They are the number one team in DVOA like they always are, and they kind of normally disappoint in those spots.
Yeah, I will say this total at 47.5, kind of like the over in that one, just because, you know, last week we saw Houston kind of sputter a little bit, but that's a divisional game, right? Now you got pissed off Josh Allen, Houston playing against a Buffalo defense that just got ran over last week. So Houston can kind of expose some things there in the dome, on the turf. I don't think that total's going down anymore. So that's probably the best number you're going to get right now. I might be looking at that. Let's go to Maddie Saint, Texans and Bills at Houston.
Yeah, I think Jake just hit on all the points I was going to hit on, especially if Houston can get Tank Dell back. I think this is a great spot for them to have kind of an offensive eruption. You know, the Bills are still suffering from a corpus amount of defensive injuries on that side. So I think, you know, if they can get Tank back, if they have Mixon back, I mean, still they have a couple reasonable running backs that can carry the load even if he doesn't. But I like this game over too. You know, I look at the Bills and they're just kind of hard team for me to figure out with all their injuries. They kind of plot around, but then sometimes they can, you know, Josh Allen can be Josh Allen. Pretty, you know, underwhelming game the other night, but also a really tough environment in Baltimore. So I don't want to hit on them too hard there. But this game to me screams over on that fast track in the dome in Houston. I think it's a get right spot for them to win by. You know, I guess it's just a pick 'em basically right now. But I like Houston to win outright.
Yeah, something like a 28-27 or 28-24 seems very reasonable. Patrick Gates, Texans and Bills. Your Bills.
Yeah, I kind of have an opposite take. I think this game's going to go under here. The glaring hole in the Houston's defense has been their run game, right? And you've seen the transition of the Bills offense over the past year since Joe Brady took over of trying to incorporate more of that run game, especially with James Cook. Josh has clearly, he took a shot last week. He was hurt going into it. Shakir is now an issue. And this defense is so banged up. And it seems like they can never get a fully healthy squad that's out on the field. Milano, the middle linebacking core is done, like extremely hurt. The safeties are an issue. We're probably going to see Rapp get in and the new rookie out of Utah. So it's going to be a transition, but I think the Bills really try to slow this game down and avoid what happened in Baltimore of getting behind early. So I think they kind of want to control the pace in this game. So I like the under.
So you just expect a lot of running from Buffalo.
I think Buffalo just relies heavy on the run game. That the deep ball has kind of been gone from their offense for a while, especially now that Diggs and Davis are gone. So I think we kind of see a just really clock management performance from the Bills in this one.
I like it. I like it. Opposing views. It's what we need on the NFL roundtable. Matt Rutledge, Bills and Texans.
I actually lean Bills. I think pissed off Josh Allen. I'd like to back him here. He just got embarrassed on national television on a Monday night game. And I'm going to keep going with the Texans don't cover spreads. I'm going to keep rolling with it until it sells for me. But I think that Texans-Jags game, there were just so many mistakes by both teams, but a lot by the Texans. The fumbled punt, there were, 11 or 12 penalties. And that Texans defense, they couldn't stop ETN, really. I mean, he was running all over them. I think the Jags played a decent game, and the Texans defense did not, to me, look anywhat so convincing. So I lean Bills, actually, in this game, but I haven't really decided yet. I'd like to see what happens with this line because it's probably going to move one way or another.
Yeah, you could qualify on both sides of a teaser leg if it keeps on moving back and forth. I think Buffalo was plus one at one point, I believe. So you could have got a teaser leg at that point. Now it's kind of on the opposite side. So keep on watching that line and where it goes as that informs us for the rest of the week. I love the conflicting opinions on that game. That's a tough one. All right, Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars, the 0-4 Jaguars with Doug Peterson getting kind of feisty on the mic after that last game, as he should be. They really could have won that game and it slipped out of their hands once again. Total here in this one is 46. Let's go right back to you, Matt Rutledge, in this game at AFC South. And Jaguars still need a win, my man. Matt Rutledge, you, looking at you, Matt Rutledge.
Sorry, I was trying to get off mute. I have nothing. I hate this game. This is probably actually my least favorite game of the week, so we can just move on.
Well, I'll say this. I expect a different output, at least, from the Indianapolis Colts. That's a matchup against the Steelers that they always like, and they're at home. This is not going to be that situation. I mean, the Jaguars' season is likely over anyway, but ultra, ultra desperate at this point back at home in, Trevor Lawrence Stadium or whatever the hell they named that. I mean, that might have been a really bad idea.
Trevor Bank.
And I want to – trust me, I want to fade him after last week, like, as a Steeler fan. That game was so frustrating to watch, but I just can't do it.
Yeah, but it just always happens to the Steelers. Like, doesn't matter how good or bad they are. They just, like, cannot play at Indy for some reason. Let's go back to Patrick here. Colts and Jaguars at the – what's that – what is that called down there? The Toilet Bowl, like, where Jacksonville will play? I mean, that's a rough stadium in general.
I mean, the Jaguars were, like, a dark horse this year, right, to start the season off. They make a few off-season additions, and they were certainly one of those teams that you're like, all right, Trevor Lawrence is going to take that next step, but he never has. He's still kind of been that middle-tier quarterback despite all the expectations he's had. This is a really interesting game because now on the opposite side of Lawrence, we have Joe Flacco. And the Colts, I don't get the Colts kind of coaching staff here, especially Richardson returns from the game with an injury and the first play they call is a QB run. It just doesn't make any sense. Like this coaching staff, you have your franchise quarterback for the next 3 years and they're just kind of throwing him to the wolves, it seems like. I like the Colts in this game, though, too. I think we've seen what veteran QBs can do to a team, right? We see what Andy Dalton can do to the piss poor Panthers, like disgusting team. The Colts are much better than the Panthers in this one. So I like the Colts +2.5 in this one.
Jake's waving because you mentioned his team.
He's going after my Panthers, man.
I forget you alternate between the Bengals and Panthers there. So that's on me. That's a hand up.
It's been a rough start for Jake Circus. Let's go to Jake Circus. Well, actually, it hasn't been from a betting perspective, but from a Carolina Panthers and Bengals perspective, it has been. Jake Cirkus, Jaguars, Colts.
I think this is a good spot for the Jags offense. Like, the Colts gave up over 300 passing yards to Fields, and they probably should have lost. You know, another game that I was lucky to get through on. I think the Colts are up 17-0, and then they kind of took their foot off the gas, and it was like, oh, here come the fourth quarter Steelers for the millionth time, and rah-rah Tomlin. And, you know, it actually very impressive that the Colts were able to, you know, force some turnovers and force some negative plays and really hold off that game and get the win. But now I look at this Jags offense and, you know, watching the film, they've been so close to just breaking off some really big explosive plays the last couple of weeks. They actually did that the first 2 weeks. They couldn't get a stop. You know, they couldn't stop really Cleveland in the first half, but the first 2 weeks, Jags explosive offense was there. Last 2 weeks, not so much. And it just dropped passes. The protection's been breaking down quite a bit, but the Colts don't really pose that much of a threat defensively. So if the Jags put some points on the board, they could cover this number. I don't know if I'll get there at the 2.5 or 3. I could maybe just see myself fine, honestly, just putting them in a money line with a two-way money line with like a bigger college favorite. That's what I normally do. But I think the Jags win here. I might end up playing them in contest if it's 2.5. That's the spot here for me. But no really official play. I just like the matchup. I think that they score points if you maybe find a team total, depending on what it was. If it's like under 20, 23.5 there, I could see them covering that pretty easily.
Yeah, I have a feeling on the circa millions that this will not be a 2.5 when that comes out. You're gonna have to take a three on this one, which that's tough to do with Jacksonville at this point. Maddie Sane, wrap us up here, Colts and Jaguars.
Yeah, I hope it stays at 2.5 personally, to be selfish. But to me, this is a good Jag spot, and if they don't get it done here, I think Dougie is getting sent home. So a couple things. The Colts injuries defensively, I think, set up good for the Jags offense to succeed. Kenny Moore, we'll see if he comes back. He was out last week. He's a slot corner. And if you have Christian Kirk, that's where he kind of does his business. Number one wide receiver for Jags, more of a slot guy. So I think he'll be able to be successful there. Big injury on the Colts to watch this week is JT. He's got a high ankle sprain. He said he can maybe go. I doubt that. That's usually a 2 to 3 week injury. So I'm counting on him being out. And then, like, I'm not sure how good of a fit Flacco is for the Shane Steichen offense in general. Steichen likes to run a pace and have like a really up-tempo offense. And I don't know, with Flacco and his age, I'm unsure if he's I like the veteran leadership and the presence, and you saw what he did with Cleveland last year. I just don't know how that meshes together with Steichen's you know, tendencies at the end of the day. To me, this is probably a good Jaguar spot to get off the schneid. I think they've been close. They've been really close, like Jake said, to getting there. And if they don't get it done this week, it's going to be kind of like a tipping point for a full rebuild, if you will.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, one thing about the Colts, though, I mean, their offensive line, doesn't matter if it's Flacco or who's back there, they might have the best offensive line in football right now. And at the beginning of that game, TJ Watt, he's never irrelevant, but he was not getting through. I mean, which was an impressive thing to watch. You just don't see that from offensive lines very often. And that's kind of how they secured that game there in the first half, and a lot of Pittsburgh mistakes as well. Jacksonville in a very vulnerable position here. Can Doug Peterson, is it true that Doug Peterson, he can only win with Nick Foles? Is that what we're saying? You cannot win with Trevor Lawrence.
He can only win with Nick Foles. I mean, another angle to look to, the total is at 46.5. I think this is an over game if you were to just look at how good the Jags defense has been performing, which is not good. And then and then the Indy injuries. I think this is a good spot for Lawrence to kind of like, he's not as bad as he's been. I know he's regressed a lot. I think there is still a lot of talent somewhere in there, and I think this is one of those games that talent can shine.
Yeah,
so I like the over.
He was really close. He was really close on Sunday to making some big plays. And one more note on the Colts. Sorry, Chris. The Colts, number 4 pass blocking unit per PFF, number 31st passing offense per PFF. So it's not the offensive line's fault. Those are some dudes, as you were saying, but the passing, you just can't figure it out.
Yeah, bad. And if you're wondering who's at the very bottom of the luck rating, yes, it is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And just as a note for this pod, since we always have at least 4 guys in this pod, please interrupt me, guys, whenever you want. Sometimes you start talking and I just start talking because I don't see you. So just keep talking because it's hard to see. And you're all kind of microed. on this show. You're like tiny little boxes. I can't tell what's happening.
You're like Colin Cowherd, and we're your guests.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just like squinting. All right. Bears are hosting again at home. Nice little home stand for the Bears here. And in come the Carolina Panthers. This is interesting because this opened at 4.5. Now, again, I didn't see these lines as soon as they opened, like Sunday at 8 o'clock, whenever they did. But it's at 3.5 now. I don't know if that's movement on the Panthers right away or if that's from a long time ago. Sorry that I can't give any context to that one. But this was my biggest rating spread disparity all week. And I hate to say that because Lord knows I have a lot of issues still with Caleb Williams and the overconfidence there. But I think the Bears could be as high as 6 in this game. I mean, they're at home. Their defense should really make life difficult for Andy Dalton. And their defense didn't really play that well last week. So I expect a regression game, a better game for Chicago's defense. And if you're going to face any defense in the world that's going to help your offense get better, it's the Carolina Panthers, who have absolutely no pass rush. They can't stop the run game. I think this is a really good setup for the Bears again. It's a high variance, high volatility game, so I can't put more than 2 units in it on that, but I already shared this free pick on Twitter, so you can read about that if you're looking my account at Farley Bets. So I'm on the Bears in this one, boys. Totals here at 42. Let me go back to Matty Saint, Bears and Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, Chris, you and I are in the same boat. This is the largest market versus my numbers discrepancy of the week. So I actually have this, you know, early in Tuesday, not fully done with the matchup analysis, but I have this at Bears -7. And you look at the injuries that Carolina suffered last week on top of the injuries they already have. And this should set up really well for Chicago, just to ground and pound all day. And then also I think the Bears defense is getting close to turning that tied around for where they finished last year. This is a really good spot against a really poor offensive, not actually the offensive line is performing well, but just in general, like a lack of skill position that Carolina has right now. If they can take away Deontay Johnson, the Carolina Panthers don't have a lot of go-to options. So I think this is a game that, you know, Caleb doesn't have to be a hero. He can move the ball well, just take his medicine and, you know, take what's given in front of him. And I think they should be able to win by margin. So I'm surprised to hear. I looked at Circa just now. It's at 4. If you have a 3.5, I think that's worth jumping all over right now. It's one of my favorite plays as of, you know, Tuesday at noon. So, and it's also a large discrepancy, which also makes me a little nervous of why I'm so far away from the market on this one. But sometimes you got to trust your numbers and roll with it.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that, but good to hear that you and I are both on the same side. Yeah, I don't think that number is going to go down anymore. I don't think we're getting a 3 here or anything. So 3.5, I'm okay with the 3.5. Let's go to Patrick Gates, Panthers and Bears.
Yeah, just kind of echoing what Maddie said. It is interesting too that, right, that this total opened at 4 is now shifted down to 3.5 on certain books. And I kind of echo the same points you guys had, right? Like the Bears, it should be a great spot for the Bears here. The line movement does make me a little bit nervous, so I'm probably going to just stay away from this game in general.
I like it. Matt Rutledge, Panthers and Bears.
I'm in the same boat. I'm staying away from this game. I think the Panthers, they got to come alive somehow. I don't think it's going to be this game, but I'm good.
Yeah, I don't see this being an Andy Dalton game necessarily. Yeah. This is another team who we played for, right? I'm pretty sure had a Bears uniform on at one point. And I must correct myself, too, from last week's show. I think I said Red Rocket instead of Red Rifle.
Red Rifle.
I'm pretty sure Red Rocket is what people say when, like, you know, their dog gets excited or something. So Red Rifle, not Red Rocket. I won't do that again. Sorry, boys. Sorry, audience, on that one. I got to talk a lot on this show. It's hard being the host. All right, let's go to Jake Circus. What do you got for the Red Rifle against the Bears?
I'll zag a bit here. I played the Panthers at 4.5 at open. So it was good to see the instant, you know, drop off in the line. I kind of expected that.
Was that you that moved the line?
No, it was not me that moved the line. But honestly, like at this point, with the amount of dollars that I've invested in the Panthers the last 2 years, it wouldn't surprise me if I'm the only one that's moving that's betting it. But I actually didn't have the Panthers last week. I actually read that game pretty well. I think that line was a bit too low, but I upgraded the Panthers again. I think that they were, if they didn't get stopped on 4th and goal from the 1 on their opening drive, they probably not would have, but they would have had a much better chance at the end to win that game. Think that really cost them early. They gave the Bengals a free touchdown with a tipped interception. So I upgraded the Panthers again from an offensive perspective. They're fourth in EPA per drive the last 2 weeks with Dalton. And I know that's against really weak defenses, but this is not a low, like a low market, like worst team ever Panthers anymore. They are doing what you're, what a good offense is supposed to do against bad defenses. Now, you know, Bears come to town, really good pass rush, a couple of good, really good coverage guys in the back end. But this Panthers offensive line, they've played at a top five level, both run blocking and especially pass blocking all year long. This is not a a buy low on the Panthers anymore. This is a buy on an offense that I expect to you know, really move the ball. What like they've done the last 2 weeks, they can run the ball right now. They ran the ball really well against the Raiders and especially the Bengals. I'm not there yet with Chicago. I think they could have easily lost that game to the Rams if it wasn't for a couple of turnovers. I'm just not confident in them to win by margin right now. So I will gladly take my Panthers at the 4.5 that I got it at.
Yeah, I got to say, Chuba Hubbard. That's the best NFL name there is, isn't it? Chuba Hubbard. I mean, that's amazing. He's looked pretty good. Offensive line has looked pretty good, to your point. Although I will say the Panthers benefited from that uncharacteristic Joe Burrow interception. I don't know what that was. Joe kind of set them up good there and took away some points from Cincinnati. But apparently, Jake, odds makers agree with you about a lot of those positive points, because this isn't – it's not lined like it's a significant disparity here, especially with the Bears being at home, right? At least you get – usually get at least a point or two for being at home. So odds makers agree with Jake. We disagree with Jake, at least me and Maddie St. Theo. We're going for the Bears. All right, let's get away from that game and talk
Jake, how much is David Tepper paying you for this Panthers promo right now? Because this is insane.
Do you know what's funny long. Is aren't they – they're like – so they're two games out in the NFC South right now. The NFC is a mess. I mean, they have a last-place schedule. They play in a bad division. Anything can happen. I think this team can still make the playoffs. I'm not even lying.
Oh, so, the playoffs.
Yeah,
so,
that's
– so we'll
see. That must be a pretty nice bag he's giving you then.
I'll tell
you, probably did the same thing I did, but I looked at this game yesterday morning and I was like, damn it, Jake's going to be on Panthers. you just look at the line, you're like, you know it's coming.
If they can find a way to win this game in Chicago, they get home Falcons, Commanders, Broncos, Saints, Giants. I know some of those teams are up market right now, but none of those teams are world beaters.
If there's a number over three and there's a half point next to it, Jake Sirkus is going to be on the Carolina Panthers. You can
not last week. Sure. Not last week. They were 3.5 home dogs, and I was disciplined. I was really disciplined.
That's true. But that was your other team too. It was a little bit easier, wasn't it? All right, let's go to a really ugly one, guys. Maybe we can just blow right through this because personally, I get sick even talking about it. The total is 35.5. Are you going to take the New England Patriots at home, or are you going to take the Miami Dolphins on the road after the way they looked on Monday night? I mean, when you make the Titans look better, when you make the Titans look pretty good in some spots, that, you know, and I know there was Mason Rudolph, you know, so Will Levis destroyed the opportunity for the Titans to destroy themselves, which was probably a good thing for the Titans. But man alive, this is a really messy game. AFC East used to mean something here, folks, but I don't know how much this one's going to mean anymore. Let's go right back to Jake Sirkus. Patriots hosting the Dolphins, and the Patriots are one point favorite or 1 point underdog, depending on where you look.
Yeah, I don't really care. I don't care whether they're a dog or a favorite. I don't know. This Pats offensive line is really bad, and you know, maybe we'll see some Drake May here. Maybe he'll get some more reps with the ones, and like, even if it is Drake May, that still probably favors the Dolphins a bit with the rookie quarterback. I think the Dolphins pass rush can really cause some havoc here. I don't know what McDaniel's doing, because your offense is not supposed to look this bad with a backup. I mean, you see guys out there that have good, decent, passable offenses with a backup quarterback, and you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I mean, what is at what point is McDaniel's job going to be on the line? So I think he's going to be under some heat here. This will be a Dolphins spot, but that's my lean. I will not be betting it because I don't even want to watch it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was checking the total yards like deep into the third quarter, maybe fourth, and it was like 86 total yards for the Dolphins.
Yeah, they averaged under 3 yards per play yesterday. I mean, I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah, there was a fourth down and one or less than one where they did a delayed zone rush. it was very strange. So I totally agree with you. Mike McDaniel needs to sharpen up there, maybe a little bit less on the Miami Vice haircuts and sunglasses and all that. And now they got to go to New England, right? Where at least you have some pride there in your defense if you're the Patriots. So I can't say I love this spot for the Dolphins. I probably won't take anything in it except for maybe looking at that under, guys. This is going to be pretty gross. Matt Rutledge, Patriots and Dolphins. What do you got?
Well, I'll just throw out there that Miami are 0-7 ATS in their last seven games. And Miami is 7-0 ATS in their last seven games against New England. So in saying that, I'm good. I don't want any part of this game. I probably lean under, but I'm not going to take it at that number. Maybe in a teaser, I'll take the under and get a couple extra points with it, but it's just disgusting.
I must say, looking good with the new haircut there, Matt Rutledge. Maybe I'm not trying to flirt with you, but maybe I'm just a little jealous, because when I get a haircut, it's like there's no hair. You know, you get a haircut and you still got a flow going on. It's
a little bit.
You know, yeah. Must be nice.
It means a lot.
Well, a lot of the boys actually got a haircut. I don't know if our audience notices these kind of things, but we're trying to stay clean and classy for you, for this show every Tuesday at noon. Okay. Patrick Gates, what do you got here? Do you got anything, Dolphins and Patriots?
Yeah, I like the Dolphins in this spot. As odd as that is, I do like the Dolphins here. I think it's the first week. Obviously, Tyler Huntley struggled with that offense, but this game is more so desperation for Miami than New England, right? New England's going through a rebuild here. Mayo is not really in trouble in terms of his job. After last week's performance, McDaniel is now kind of on the hot seat here, which I don't think any of us really expected to see in week four of this season. That offense has to get going. The Patriots defense, yes, while very good, I think Miami can exploit it, especially in the pass game here. So I like the Dolphins. This total, it also feels a little bit too high. So I like the Dolphins +1 in this spot. But at that point, just give me the money line if I'm getting a pretty good number on it. So I like Miami a lot in this spot. It's an ugly game, but I'm pretty high on Miami here.
I like that, Patrick. You're sticking your neck out. Actually, if you rewinded most of these shows and you saw me like doing like a gesture like this, like kind of making fun of somebody's play, that play usually hit. So that goes to show you how my reactions have been this year. Maddie's saying, end us here on Dolphins and Patriots.
Yeah, I was just looking at the current line. It's down to a pick between the two. My model says 1.5 for the Patriots. I'm not going to play it. A couple interesting things, though, like that Mike McDaniel, just like his offense is so out of sync without, you know, a functional quarterback back there. And I think his stuff just revolves on so much rhythm and timing with the pre-snap motions and, the route trees that he likes to run. I feel like he just can't get anything going with the quarterbacks at his disposal right now. I'd be a lot more interested in this game if Drake May started, just from an entertainment standpoint, but I'm not going to get involved either way, despite my model saying that there's value. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel looks like he just wants that San Francisco offense still, right? And Tua could make that happen, but with any other quarterback, I think it's just looking pretty rough. All right, boys, we're at the top of the hour. We're an hour in, and we're not doing very good as timing goes. Now there are five of us on the show, but we have 1, 2, 3, we have 6 more games to get to here. Let's see if we can do it in 30 minutes, or our audience can pack it up and go home or do whatever else they have to do with the rest of their day. But we got a lot of good games. It's gonna be tough. All right. 49ers hosting the Arizona Cardinals. 49ers are 7 to 7.5 point favorites at home. Cardinals coming off an embarrassing loss. The only way I can look here, boys, especially if you're getting a 7.5, is probably Arizona. Total on this one is 50, expecting some points, and I agree with that too. I could see that actually moving up a little bit, lean to the over on this one as far as I'm concerned. Let's go back to you, Maddie Saint, 49ers and Cardinals.
Yeah, I'll be quick. If it's 7.5 and McBride is in, it'll be Cardinals. If not, if McBride's out again, I'll probably just stay away. But I do lean, I think there's a lot of backdoor cover potential too, even if San Francisco's got a nice comfortable lead for most of it. So that's where I'm leaning right now.
Yeah. And a total surprise last week, kind of, for the Cardinals, right? Jaden Daniels comes in there, does it 2 games in a row. This is a divisional game, right? So you just have to figure, I mean, there are 2 teams that know each other a lot better. Patrick Gates, Cardinals and 49ers.
Yeah, this is a complete stay away spot for me too. Nothing here.
You think it's lying just right. Okay. Matt Rutledge, 49ers, Cardinals.
I love the Cardinals this week. I'm on Cardinals plus 7.5. The 49ers, they just, I think we talked about it a lot last week, but that double digit spread last week, they did cover. They looked great, and the Cardinals got killed last week. Cardinals haven't covered in two games. 49ers, they got a big look ahead. They play Seahawks, Chiefs, Cowboys, then the Bucks, then they play the Seahawks again, then Packers, Bills. Like, that is a hard schedule. None of those games are a give me. So I think with that huge look ahead spot, I think this is a chance for the Cardinals to make it a close game and the Niners to just look at this game and say, let's just win and leave it at that. So I like the Cardinals with the points here.
Excellent point, Matt. I agree with you. They have, not only do they have Seattle next, but they have Seattle on Thursday night at Seattle. I mean, that you're probably going to be thinking about that one a little bit, especially with a team in Arizona who you've just beaten up for the past few years, right? Jake Cirkus, Cardinals and 49ers.
Yeah, my preseason opinion on Arizona was kind of wanted to fade them early. And then they really impressed me the first 3 weeks. I feel like they could have won that game against Detroit at home. If a couple, things went their way, they had that crazy pick six that got called back because the refs blew it dead because of 2-minute warning. And then last week I was really heavy on them and they just laid a complete egg in a great spot at home against the Commanders. So that's the only reason why I would stay off of the plus 7.5. I'll probably still end up playing it. Seeing some sevens pop up, I think it's a really good spot for that offense to bounce back. A little bit down on the Niners defense this year. I thought the Patriots were getting guys really open. The offensive line just couldn't hold up, and Brissett couldn't get anybody the ball. So that's something to monitor with the Niners' back end defense. It's not as good this year as it's been in years past. I think the Cardinals can take advantage of that. For whatever reason, they couldn't against the Commanders' defense. That's way worse than what they're going to face this Sunday. But, kind of have to just ignore that and move on and kind of evaluate them what they've been all year, which is a pretty functional, explosive offense. So, like Matty Saint said, backdoor potential for sure, and extremely plus 7.5 if you can get it, which there's tons out there right now.
Yeah, we love a 7.5 hook. And those Cardinals are at the bottom of the luck ratings as well, not too far from the Jaguars. So something to consider in their season moving forward. Okay, Denver Broncos are minus 1.5, I believe. Is that still true? No, that's up to minus 3. Excuse me, opened at minus 1.5. That's what I was reading. Up to minus 3 on the Broncos at home, hosting the Las Vegas Raiders after Antonio Pierce got up his player's ass again and had him play hard in the second half, at least, of that game. So they get a win. Raiders, to me, guys, just look like an every other week team. It's like Antonio Pierce gets pissed off and he yells at them, and it's like there's all this, upheaval in the locker room. Now is kind of going to be, just more chill this week, I guess. And they're going to Denver, which Denver's playing some pretty damn good defense. Like it's not a fluke at this point for the last 2 weeks. And obviously going to Denver is one of the tougher spots for any team to go. A divisional game should be low scoring, as it indicates. 36.5 is where it sits. Let me go to Matt Rutledge first in this one. Broncos and the Raiders.
Just move on.
Let's just keep it moving. Yeah, I like that, Matt. You always do that for us a few times in this show, which is really beneficial. Got to keep it moving sometimes. Patrick Gates, Raiders, Broncos.
Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head here. The Raiders are just an inconsistent team at best. I like the Broncos in this spot at 2.5. Bo Nix is kind of just going to be a game manager in this spot. I think if he limits his turnovers here, I think the Broncos come out on top. So Denver minus 2.5 is my play.
Yeah, to your point about Bo Nix in college and you not being very impressed, Patrick Gates, yeah, minus 7 yards at the end of the first half through the air last week. Now, they still found a way to win that game, but I wouldn't say a lot of it was because of Bo Nix. All right, Matty Saint, end us here on Broncos and Raiders.
Yeah, I'll be quick. It's a stay away. Yeah, reasons to fade both teams right now.
That is for sure. Okay, let's move on to the Packers going to L.A. to face the Rams. Packers off that loss, which they just looked like they were shell-shocked during that game against the Vikings, as many teams have looked when they face the Vikings. And yet the Green Bay Packers are still 3 to 3.5 point favorites on the road. Now, L.A., not a tough road spot when you consider the crowd and everything else. Going to be a lot of cheeseheads in there. But still a little surprising to see the Packers as this strong of a favorite at L.A. LA obviously still dealing with a ton of injuries, and this just didn't look good in that second half against the Bears especially. So who am I going to first? Let's go right back to Maddie Saint, Rams and Packers.
I really like the Packers in this spot. We'll see if the Rams get any healthy reports on the injury front this week. But, you know, I think the first half of last week was Jordan Love knocking off that rust and hadn't played for a couple weeks. And you could just see how good that offense can roll once, you know, that offense can get on rhythm and timing. I think the Green Bay Packer defense is a little bit better than what they displayed against the Vikings as well. I think there was some turnovers and shell shock that happened in the first half that the Vikings got up to that big 28-0 lead. They really didn't do much in the second half, the Vikings offense. So for me, I love the Packers on the turf. I think this is a fast surface, one that they can really exploit, take advantage of. I think that, you know, I think the Packers are going to win pretty comfortably on Sunday. I think this is a good spot for them to bounce back from last week.
Yeah, wide receivers were coming alive last week too, especially in the second half. Almost caught up there. Let's go to Jake Circus, Packers and Rams.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Maddie saying. I think it's a great spot. 3.5 is steep, but again, they're a team that can play pretty fast and cover this margin pretty easily. I love what the Rams were doing on offense against the Bears. They're running the ball. They're moving the ball. They were moving the ball pretty nicely. But again, like we saw, the game turned because of a strip sack that was just a terrible pass protection, identity, pass protection, efficiency, and just was terrible. And that's what's cost this Rams team week after week. So yeah, I'll lean Packers here.
All right,
sorry, you can hear my dog in the background.
Don't hear him at all. I love it. You got a primo mic, I guess, in that case. Have we asked Matt Rutledge yet? Matt, I forget because you were so quick last time. We haven't asked you yet, right? Rams, Packers.
I'm 0-3 on betting Packers games this season, and I have a Rams over ticket. So I'm just not going to take anything in this
game. You're already invested.
Yeah, right. I know. And I don't know. I took the Colts versus the Packers. L. Then I took the Titans versus the Packers. L. Then last week I was like, okay, I'll back the Packers. Vikings won, so I'm just
The Packers have been tough to figure out. I mean, when you have Jordan Love 0-2 and Malik Willis is 2-0, I mean that's a pretty tough combo there. By the way, to our audience, if you hear any podcast say that they should put in Malik Willis instead of Jordan Love, turn off the podcast. Do not keep listening to that podcast. Okay. Let's go Seattle Seahawks, coming off that loss, which I was pretty impressed by them actually last night. That was just more about the Lions, if you ask me. I mean, not impressed by Seattle's defense, but massive regression coming from there, especially because Daniel Jones is coming to town, the not so superior passer for the New York Giants, although he looked good against Dallas. Giants couldn't pull it out last week on Thursday Night Football. So you have competing situational narratives here. Giants are coming off 10 days of rest, but they have to go up to Seattle. And as a Giants fan, I'm just looking right at the camera. I can tell you how this story goes. I've seen it before many times. When the Giants go up to the Pacific Northwest, it ain't good. And I don't like Seattle coming off of that loss, going back home. I don't care about the lack of rest. I don't care if Seattle's like got together for the first time on Friday. I am not going to fade the Seattle Seahawks against my New York Giants in Seattle. I actually had this game at Seattle -7. And it opened up around 5.5 at some books. You could still get a 5.5, 6 at most books right now. Let me go to Matt Rutledge first in this one, Seahawks and Giants.
I'll be quick with it again. I think I love everything you just said, but I'm going to just take the Seahawks in a parlay this week and move on because I don't feel comfortable laying 6, even though they probably do cover, but I just feel like put money line in a parlay and move on.
Yeah, if you still have Seattle in your survivor pool, I would suggest this is a pretty good spot. And listen, I know the Giants looked better. You know, the Giants have a good pass rush. I think they're going to get better, but this has just not treated them well going all the way up there to Seattle. Let's go Patrick Gates, Giants and Seahawks.
Yeah, just last pick for the Packers and Rams as well. I'm on the Packers big in that one. The one concern was Jake's dog was barking. So if that's any indication that the dogs are going to be barking in that game, I hope it's not. But I'm all over Seattle here. I think this line moves to 7 or maybe 6.5 that we see it come kickoff. So while it's at 5.5 right now, I love this line. The Malik Nabers game time status is also going to be interesting if he's out as well. that's really going to be a tough matchup for the Giants. So I like Seattle big in this game.
That's a really good point, Patrick. Yeah, Malik Nabers had that concussion. We know how the league is with concussions now. I do not see him coming back. Did I skip you in that last one, Patrick? I'm sorry about that. That's because I was so pissed off about your play on the Dolphins. Like, come on, man. What are you? I can't believe you said that.
It's an ugly pick. I get it.
All right, let's go to Jake Circus here. Seahawks and Giants in Seattle.
Yeah, still monitoring those Seahawks injuries. And that was my main handicapping last night with the Lions alt minus 9.5 was just Williams, Nwosu, Murphy, Mafe, Baker all missed the game last night. Those are, you know, five pretty important, very important players in their front seven. So we'll see if they get any of those guys back, how many of those guys that they get back. Obviously, the Malik Nabers injury is one to monitor. I think the long week will help him get through concussion protocol. We'll see, I mean, if he's even able to get through the protocol, just how bad the concussion actually was. Matchups, I do lean Seattle here, but again, like, those injuries to Seattle are very important. There's some still 6.5s out there. I'll be monitoring the practice report, or the estimated, I guess. Well, today's probably their day off, so you got to wait till tomorrow, I guess, for the practice report. But a rest disadvantage for the Seahawks at a pretty extreme margin here. So I lean Giants at 6.5. But if I can't get it and I miss the injury stuff, I'm not going to be kicking myself.
I'm telling you guys, Geno Smith, he looked pretty good, right?
He's been awesome.
Against the Lions defense. Wait till you see how good Geno Smith looks against the Giants secondary. Matty Saint, Geno Smith and the Seahawks taking on the Giants at home. What do you got?
Yeah, I think the injury reports for both teams are absolutely critical this week. I think it's too early to place a bet. If we get a healthy Nabers or Nabers that can go, despite Seattle's injuries, I actually really like the Giants getting 6 here. And I know, Chris, you got your, you know, historical fandom, you know, shining through right now. But as I look through it, you have the Seahawks on the road last night traveling. They probably didn't get home till early this morning. The Giants, they played Thursday night football. And then you look at next week, Seattle's got to go to San Fran on a Thursday night to play a division rival. And so that's a short week. They could be looking ahead a little bit. You know, maybe it helps them a little bit. They lost last night, so they can't get, you know, too fat and happy. They got to take this week serious. But I don't know. I just feel there's something sneaky with the Giants this week. And if Nabers can go, I kind of like them as a money line underdog sneaking up and getting the dub. But so right now, despite everything, you know, and Seattle's injuries too, the defensive line's been just ravaged with injuries. So that's my spiel for the Giants, but you have to wait on Nabers. That's too critical. If Nabers doesn't go, like, my thesis is completely thrown out. You can just forget everything I just said.
Yeah, Nabers definitely making Daniel Jones look better. And I must say, to Daniel Jones' credit, he's not afraid to chuck it up there to him. But I'm pretty sure the week 6 game for Seattle and San Francisco is at Seattle. At least I thought it was.
Okay.
I think nothing's loading up for me over here, guys. But I mean, either way, to your point, you know, scheduling wise, that's a really tough spot.
It's at Seattle. Yep, I just looked it up. It's at Seattle. But still, it's still a division rival against, you know, one of the top two teams in the league, you know, compared to, you know, how they might perceive Daniel Jones. So there's a little bit of look ahead, you know, game planning and prep that they have to do. It might take a little bit of time, and they already have a short week this week too. So just like a weird sandwich spot for me that I think Seattle's got a little bit of jeopardy here at the second.
100%. This is three games in 10 days, right? Because they've got the Thursday, Monday, sure. Sunday, Thursday, the three games in 10 days for Seattle with the injuries.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Seattle dominates the Giants, pretty good spot maybe to fade them on Thursday, especially if, you know, especially if the 49ers don't look that great on Sunday either against the Cardinals. Okay, we have two games left on the slate. We will get to the best bets at the very end of this show. It looks like we're going to end it around an hour and a half as we usually do. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We're getting close to 200 people here live. And don't forget to please listen via podcast, or you can watch and listen on YouTube later today. I will have those up this afternoon, this evening at some point. Okay. Steelers visiting Dallas, opened up at Pittsburgh -1.5. I just got rid of that screen that I had in front of me because nothing was loading, but I'm pretty sure it's around 2 right now. You guys might have to keep me honest on that one, but Steelers slight favorites at home, opened up, I believe, as a pick 'em actually. And then it got steamed up on the Steelers side a little bit. At home, I think this is a really good matchup for the Steelers. But again, we got the Dallas Cowboys coming off 10 days of rest as well. Maybe they're feeling a little bit better about themselves. So I'm going to go to Jake Circus first on this one. Jake, I think you got something for us loaded up here. What do you say? Steelers, Cowboys.
Yeah, it's rah-rah Tomlin off of a loss, short home favorite. I mean, I wish he was dog here because then it would be like the best bet ever. But no, there's the Tomlin's, he's such a predictable coach. I mean, yeah, he terrible spot, road favorite against Indy, loses the game, almost makes the heroic Tomlin comeback, and then he comes back prime time as a short home favorite off of a loss. I mean, I don't care about the Cowboys' rest advantage here. I think this is a great matchup for Pittsburgh. Micah, I don't know if he's going to go. This Cowboys offensive line is a mess. They can't run the ball. I don't know if they get to 20 points in this game. Pittsburgh should have won against Indy, or the game should have been closer throughout. The Pickens fumble was a complete mess. I mean, that was in the red zone. We didn't even get hit. He just dropped the ball. And then, the Fields fumble, it takes a couple negative plays in the fourth quarter for no reason. So better matchup. I think that there are some still star players on this Cowboys defense, but again, my capping for them all year has been they have no depth. They have no depth. New DC, it's a great matchup for Pittsburgh. Tomlin off of a loss is a spot. There's still a 1.5 at FanDuel. I got it there yesterday, so I love it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this would probably be a free play for me on the Steelers. I don't know if I can go as high as 3 units. Maybe the Cowboys do kind of rah-rah too after that win, and the Cowboys now are really catching up, right? We got the Commanders out there taking the lead, so they need to get stuff together, but it just seems like a really good matchup for Pittsburgh for me. Let's go to Matty Saint, Steelers and Cowboys.
Yeah, Jake hit on a lot of good points without Lawrence, and I think Mike is a long shot to play, so I'd say you can feel free to handicap, assuming those two are out. I think Pittsburgh's strength is rushing the ball. They're going to be able to do it against the Dallas D-line, who struggles mightily against stopping the run. The only concern I have with this is just it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I could just see it as like a 19-17 game. So I think getting the number is incredibly important. I don't feel comfortable laying the 2.5 with just Fields, and I don't trust that offense still for Pittsburgh. But, if there is a game where they can just chew up clock and keep it ground and pound, this is get it with Arthur Smith and the way he likes to, call plays and call the game. But I also feel like, Dallas, they've got, Aubrey as their kicker who can mask a lot of issues offensively. And so I just feel that it's going to be like a low scoring game. I think the total is 43. I lean under on that one. So that's my, that's my take on this one.
Yeah, total
Steelers at -1.5. I don't like them at 2.5.
Yeah, both good points. And total is at 43. You're correct. And I would tend to agree with you. I think one of these two teams doesn't get to 20 and the other barely does. So this is going to be a very slow moving game. And it's at Pittsburgh, right? You got the grass, you got the trenches. It's made for an under. Patrick Gates, Steelers and Cowboys.
I have a contrary take there. I like the over in this one. We saw Justin Fields improve last week, totaled over 360 yards on, and we saw what Joe Flacco did to that defense too, right? This Pittsburgh defense, right? Super great. Like everyone's bragging about them. They were fantastic. I think Prescott's able to exploit this defense this week again. And I think Pittsburgh's able to put up some points too against this Cowboys defense that's banged up. So I like the over 43 here.
Patrick Gates, he comes back from Spain, just thinking he knows.
Hot takes. Fire him off.
Yeah, he's going to go for one-on-one with me all the time. All right, Patrick, I see what you're doing here. All right. Matt Rutledge, wrap it up here, Steelers and Cowboys.
I know you said about – you were like, I don't know if I can put 3 units on them. I'm going to have 3 units or more on the Steelers this weekend. I know I'm showing a little bias here today, but this is probably my biggest bet so far this NFL season. This is, classic. Jake said a perfect classic Tomlin spot here. No Parsons, Marquise Bell still out, no Lawrence. Like, we got blown off the line against the Colts. I don't even know. We offense and defensive line just looked horrible. We haven't seen that in any game so far yet. That was surprising to me, but I think we just run the ball, keep it low scoring, but I'm going to have probably a max bet here on the Steelers this weekend.
All right, a lot of go ahead.
Putting all my marbles in one basket.
I like it. All right, a lot of support for the Steelers on this show. We'd love to see it. All right, well, let's move on. We got one more game. It's the Monday Night Football game. I just gotta tell you guys right now, if I try to bring up a website on my computer, like, nothing's working except for this show. So hopefully this show is still working, like, on Twitter, and hopefully it translates on the podcast version.
We've just been talking to ourselves for the last hour and a half.
Hopefully. It still says there are people watching on Twitter. Hopefully that's true. Okay, final game is Monday Night Football. The Chiefs are currently -5, and last time I looked, can't load up anything else, so hopefully that's still true. Opened at KC around -5.5. Saw some support for the Saints immediately. Also saw some support for the under immediately. This is 45.5 when it came out. Bet right down to 42.5. Seems like people think that the Saints are going to match up well and bring some defense to this contest. I don't have any real thoughts on it yet. This is one of those games where I haven't done a full, you know, my full research, so I'm not going to give away any square thoughts. I'll just pass it on. Let's go to Matt Rutledge first. Saints and Chiefs on Monday night.
I love the Saints. You know, that Derek Carr beat Mahomes, seen the Chiefs how many times now? You know, like, I think it's a horrible matchup for KC. I think, you know, the Saints, they obviously can put up points. I think they have the weapons on offense to do it. And I think this is a perfect spot, you know, that's already written in the book. You just see Chiefs got a bye week next week, week 6. Then week 7, they come out and play the Niners in San Francisco. So let's say they lose this game, then you go on a bye week, then you go into San Fran. How perfect would that be? So I even like the Saints money line here this week. So I'm 100% going to be playing the Saints.
Wow, I like it, Matt Rose. I like it. And yeah, you look at the Chiefs. I mean, 4-0, 3-1 ATS, and they've definitely had a lot of things go their way and bounce their way in these games, right? So maybe this is that spot where a Saints team who did a lot of right last week, and they got beat by a team that scored 0 offensive touchdowns. So maybe this is just a really good spot for them. Agree with you on the matchup as well. That secondary and the Saints defense is going to make life difficult, especially now with no Rasheed Rice probably too, right? And that's a big deal for Kansas City. Let's go over to Jake Circus, Kansas City and New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with this line. This is a big number. The Chiefs normally don't cover these big numbers with Mahomes. Like, anything over a field goal, it's just marginally worse than them inside of a field goal with Mahomes at quarterback. I think they've been the luckiest team in the league. You know, now they're out Rice, which sucks. And this New Orleans team, they have to be pissed off. I mean, the last 2 weeks, it feels like they've gotten 2 wins, not stolen from them, but they've really shot themselves in the foot the last 2 weeks. They were really so close to just stealing a win from the Eagles when they didn't deserve it. And then, you know, if two guys don't run into each other, Sirianni's probably fired. And then the Saints are, what, 3-1 right now? And then the DPI on the last drive, after the Saints go ahead, is just killer. So they're going to be desperate for a good performance here. I think the Rasheed Rice injury is absolutely huge. I think they need to go get a receiver. This is not like, even like, we've seen since they traded Tyreek Hill, we've seen some bad Chiefs receiving corps. This is the worst one by far, because I think Kelsey's close to really getting there. I don't want to say the W word, but he's there. Rookie at left tackle. This is not the same Chiefs team we've seen. They've been so lucky, and I don't trust them at all to cover this number. I'll take New Orleans.
Turns out that maybe a lot of those concerts over the summer, maybe Kelsey's a little affected by things going on there with old Taylor. I know. I mean, if I'm dating Taylor, I'm probably pretty affected by that. But, I mean, I guess me and Kelsey, not the same person. Anyway, all right, Patrick Gates, Chiefs and Saints, Monday Night Football. What do you got, buddy?
Yeah, you mentioned that under, moving from 45 to 42. I really like this under in this game. The loss of Rasheed Rice significantly impacts this Kansas City Chiefs offense. Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce. I don't know if that's going to be enough to get it done, and Xavier Worthy as well, but this Saints defense has been incredible for the first 4 weeks. Spagnuolo also knows Derek Carr from his time at the Raiders. They've played countless times as well. So the under at 42, I would have liked to grab it earlier, but I lean the under in this one.
Yeah, as much as the Kansas City Chiefs are looking like it's not a good offensive situation, guys, the fact that they're 4-0, still at this point, I mean, I still think the Chiefs are going to win. I think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. I really do. I think it's going to be 3 in a row, because you're starting. I mean, I'm not going to get this debate going. But I just want to say, I just got to say this. You're starting this way 4-0, and you're going through some tribulation already. Andy Reid's going to figure this shit out. As long as Mahomes can stay healthy, it's scary. The rest of the league should be scared that they're 4-0 still. I mean, at this point, they could easily be 1-3 in the least. But nobody's standing out in this league really either, right? So, God, the Chiefs just find a way, and they find a way to keep winning. Matty Saint, end up here, Saints and Chiefs.
Yeah, I could only look the Saints way right now just based off of how dysfunctional that Kansas City offense looks, which is weird to say because you have Patrick Mahomes, but there's just no continuity on anything outside. And it just looks like he has to manufacture so much of the offense, you know, out of the box, creativity, you know, scramble mode. Like, that seems like the only time they're effective. There's just no rhythm with that offense. And then I think they got a little bit better on the ground last week with Kareem Hunt, so I expect him to be a little bit better this week. But I don't know. I just can't get there with KC. Saints injuries are a little concerning, so I want to have a clean injury report. But if I were to play right now, it'd be Saints or nothing.
All right, we got a lot of support on the Saints, support on the under on that game, and it is time finally to move on to the best bet. Thank God there's not 16 games, guys. 14 games, 90 minutes. We did it again for another week here on the NFL Roundtable. First, want to say thank you to everybody for listening once again. We know these are long shows. We want them to be that way for diverse opinions from an esteemed group of panelists every single week. And big thank you again to Matty Saint for joining us for the second time on the NFL Roundtable. Your reigning Circa champion in the Circa Millions. Okay, best bets for week 5. Let's start at the top with old Patrick Gates. He's back from Spain. He's feeling good. Patrick Gates, what do you got?
Miami plus one.
And he takes the most gross pick you could take, Miami plus one. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it, Patrick. All right, Matt Rutledge, your best bet of the week.
Got to go with my Steelers. So biased, but like I have to. It's the spot.
I like it. Might as well. Hey, you know your team better than anyone else. Jake Circus, your bet of the week.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be the Texans here at plus one.
Texans at plus one. So we got Texans, Steelers, and the Miami Stinky Dolphins. Matty Stane, what is your best bet of the week?
This is hard to say. plug your nose, best bet somehow. I guess I'll plug my nose with Deshaun Watson this week, getting 3.5 points. And it's more of a fade against Daniels coming back to earth.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. And I will end it with saying that I'll bet on the Bears, -3.5. I already put it out there, so it's kind of, you know, repeat performance here. But that's the thing that jumped out to me the most. We got to stick to our numbers and our power ratings. I think the Bears actually run away with that one against the Panthers because the Panthers are the Panthers. All right, boys, week 5, we did it in the books, 90 minutes plus. Please check us out every single week here, Tuesday live at noon Eastern Standard Time. And if you're not following these guys at this point, I don't know what you're doing. He is at Jake Circus on Twitter. Matt Rutledge is at @ERSurgery_. Patrick Gates is at Gator Betting. And Matty Saint is at Matty Saint. For myself, I'm Farley Betts. And for the four of these studs, we will see you next week. Let's win some damn money. We're out of here.